Romans 8 for just a few moments. You know, we talk a lot about what God has brought us out of and bringing us into, and how that He is leading us ever closer and ever higher within Him. And in Romans 8 and verse 9, the one thing that God is bringing us out of a natural realm into a spiritual realm, where that all of our attention in the past has been in the natural. I mean, most of us have come through the church or denominational route that has brought us to the place where we are. And even though in those settings the spiritual is talked about, most of the emphasis is placed on the natural, on what you do, and not what you be. And how that the things that you do by going to church and reading your Bible and praying all the time is the things that please God. In Romans 8 and verse 9 it says, but you're not in the flesh. You know, I wonder how many times we've heard that. I don't want to get in the flesh. I want to be in the Spirit. You know, you're in, more especially in the Pentecostal denominations. You want to get in the Spirit, so therefore you sing and you get hyped up and pumped up and feel like that you're in the Spirit. You have good feelings. But here the Bible says you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Is so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, we are living in this dimension of time, and we're walking in this natural realm. But yet God has revealed to us that we are spirit beings that came out from Him. And that Spirit that is within us is God. That eternity dwells in us. And in verse 11 it says, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwell in you. And then in verse 12 he says, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Because if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. And in verse 14 he said, but for if many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I looked at that word led. The definition is to bring. And I really like this part of the definition. It is to lead by laying hold of. And in this way, to bring to a point of destination. God has laid hold of a people. He's always had that first fruits people in the earth. There's always been a people that has come out of the movement that was. Because when Jesus came on the earth, they came out of that was religion of that day. Paul came out of the church of that day. the remnant came out of that which was the established religion. And ever since then, when God began to unveil a new word or a new principle or to bring a new fact of what He is doing in the earth, He's always had a people that has come out of that move before. And so God has laid hold of a people that are being led by the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But coming to see, it's so hard for us to separate the Spirit from the flesh. We've been taught all these things of what you do to please God. But it's not what we do, it's what we be. It's who we are. It's the reality of the fact of who we are. Man's mistaken identity, sin, mistaken identity, has led him astray into false beliefs that he is separated from God or that God is not pleased with him. Who are you identifying with? God is bringing us to a place to identify with the spirit life that we are. We are being manifested, moving toward manifestation into a life that is totally immersed and flowing in that spirit realm, where God's revelation will be as much a part of our lives as the breath that we breathe. Where we walk in that time of immortality. So He has laid hold of us, and in this way He is bringing us to a point of destination, which is the manifestation of the sons of God. And you know, we in ourselves, we want that thing to happen now. We want God, please. I mean, we look at our country and we see all the problems. We see the moral decay of this nation, of this world, and the way everything is going. And there's an urgency in our spirit that's saying, God, this thing must happen now. It's our desire to see it. And that's what God has put within us, is that desire to see His work accomplished in the earth in this hour. No matter what it takes, Lord, let it be. Because He's purifying the gold that we are, and gold is only purified by heat. Our eyes have been turned upon Him. Along with the king of old, we say, Lord, we have no might that cometh against this great coming that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon You. You see, there's a difference in the natural and the spirit. The Bible says in Corinthians that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They cannot be understood in the natural. Jesus stood and spoke words of parables that they could not understand what He was saying, yet He was speaking right in the midst of them. And the words that we see are so clear, the words that the church cannot even begin to see because they're coming from the natural realm. And in 1 Corinthians 13, I want us to go there for just a little while. 13, we've often denoted this as the love chapter of the Bible. But you know, I think there's a lot more besides that. Because when we look at the realms of God, we look at the tabernacle, we look at the outer court and the holy place and the most holy place, and how that the outer court is natural light, the inner court or the holy place is a mixture of natural light and God's light. And then the most holy place is only the light of God. And we've all come through that realm of mixture in the Pentecostal charismatic movements. That's what the holy place is. There's a mixture there, a mixture between spirit and natural. And in this chapter of Scripture, he's talking about love. But I think it's a lot more than that, because he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And goes on, if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and all faith, that I could move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And then he'd be like, though I bestow all my goods to the poor and I give my body to be burnt and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself up, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. And then in verse 8 he says, love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, and the Amplified Bible says, the gift of interpreting the divine will of God, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I have come to see this verse in a natural way. Man's prophecies, man's tongues, man, because knowledge, it's going to cease, it's going to vanish away. And in the next verse he said, for we know in part and prophesy in part. But that when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. And you know, we mentioned this a few weeks ago when we were talking about the Melchizedek priesthood. But, you know, that which is perfect is come. And that which is perfect, we've always heard people use these scriptures against speaking in tongues, against prophesying. But you know what? If you look at it, and you really look at what it is, that which is perfect, Jesus Christ, is already come. Knowledge is not vanished away. Tongues has not ceased. Prophecy has not ceased. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the manifestation of the sons of God. When that which is perfect has come, that which is brought to an end, finished, lacking nothing, necessary to completion. When that perfect, total completeness comes, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When God's sons are manifested in the earth, there will be nothing lacking within them. They will be perfect and complete. Corruption will have put on incorruption. Mortal will have put on immortality. And these manifested sons of God will lack in absolutely nothing. And their ministry will be from the throne of God into the earth, speaking the words of God. When that which is perfect, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. You see, it's been sort of put like the sun rising. The Bible talks about the sun rising to the noonday position. God's day all begins in the night. as the light begins to arise in the morning, you begin to see hazily through glass darkly, but then face to face. The noonday position. The word know there is to learn to know or come to know or get knowledge of. And the love, when I am what I am known, it says, to become thoroughly acquainted with, to know and to know accurately. You see, now I know in part, but then I shall be known even as I am known. How does God know you? We don't look at that. We don't look at what God knows, how He really knows us. He knows us as His Son. I know of a senior group came by years and years ago, and they sang a song that He only sees the blood. You know, we know from what He has taught us that God does not look at this outward flesh man. That's what He told Samuel. He said, man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. He knows who we are in reality, as sons, as spirit being. Our relationship with Him is not on a natural level. It's a spirit with spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That word in the Amplified says, for now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality in a riddle or enigma. But then, when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. See, He already knows us. He sees the reality of who we are. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look at this natural man. And we still, and I've got to put myself in that, are guilty of looking at the flesh. Yes. Of seeing, and yet we know in our spirit that that is not the reality of who I am. But this flesh man was lowered into the Olamis or into the ages to be exercised by it. We don't understand all that. But through the processes of time that God has brought us, we can look back in our lives and we can see how His teaching with us, His dealing with us, His bringing us out, His laying hold of us, even before we even knew that He had laid hold of us, that we didn't fit in. I was talking to a guy this past week. He said, I just don't fit in. I don't understand. I told him, I said, well, I know what. I said, I know, brother, what you're going through with. You're coming out of the traditions of man that you do not fit into, and God is dealing with you on a new level. And those times are hard when we're going through those dealings of God. And yet, He's bringing us to a destination. He's bringing us to be able to see in the Spirit the reality of who we are. And He's told us this over and over again. Remember a few years ago, He was telling us to come aside, to build our booths. Not that we go out and build a booth, but to get a place, to get aside, to come to know Him. For as we see Him, we are being changed, metamorphosed, from one glory to a higher glory, from one dimension of consciousness to a higher dimension of consciousness that He's bringing us into. So these things that we see, these things that we look at, these things that we're going through with, He's bringing us to that time that we will come to the place where we will know accurately and perfectly the very mind of the God that we walk with. get His word within us that is being birthed in this hour. And we'll look back at these days and say, wow, you know, we have the truth, but somehow or other we didn't really see it. But in this moment of listening to, in this moment of allowing the revelation of God to be unfolded in us, and I've said it before and I still firmly believe it, that what God is going to do on the earth and His teaching to us in this hour will not be that we cannot understand or simply walk in. Jesus taught in simplicity, mm-hmm, the Word of the Father. And then this hour, and you've heard me say it before, that God did not choose to zap us or to have somebody lay their hands on us and say, you're mature. God chose it in the natural form. We are birthed into the family of God. We come as a child, and He teaches us line upon line and precept upon precept. And one day, the whole veil will be relifted. And we will see as we are and know as we are known, in the reality and the sense that we are God's child that came out from Him, that was lowered into this dimension of time for His purposes. We are here for His purpose, to walk in His will. And the fact is that we are walking in His will. We may, you know, we look at ourselves and, Lord, we're not progressing fast enough. We're not walking in this thing fast enough. Or we're always out trying to get some far out or new revelation that nobody has heard before. But you know, the fact of the matter is that what God is doing is reminding us what we already knew.
Right.
We know it all. It's all within us. In us, God dwells. The whole bodily Godhead dwells. Everything there. All of the knowledge that we need for manifestation already resides within us. And God is revealing it as He brings us to the place where we can receive it. And here He tells us, you know, that He has apprehended us. He laid His hand upon us. And He's bringing us to a point of destination. And that point of destination is the manifestation of the sons of God, walking into the reality of who we are. And I tell you, it's not going to be a supernova or a superhuman experience or a super religious experience. It's going to be a walking out of one dimension into a new dimension. Just as natural as the breath we breathe, God's going to bring us into that dimension of manifestation. Glorious as it's going to be, it's going to be natural because that's who we are. We're spirit. That's why we're comfortable with Him. That's why we don't see Him as a God who is full of hatred and sending people to hell, but see Him as a God of love and care and concern and mercy that gathers His children to Himself. We see Him as a shepherd that saw the 99 that were safe, but one was still astray, that would leave the 99 and go and get that one. We see Him as unconditional love that loves us in spite of all the faults and the failures that we have, because He only sees the reality of who we are. His sons, His children, the sheep of His pasture that has been called forth in His purpose, that came out from Him, that are being processed through Him, and that are returning to Him. What a day, what a day that we walk and live in. We've never walked this way before. Men have looked down through the ages as they did for the coming of the Christ and longed to see it. Paul said that I may be clothed upon with that heavenly tabernacle. Many would say, well, Paul wanted, no, Paul did not want to die. He was looking for the manifestation of the sons of God. He was not looking for death. He wanted to be clothed upon with that heavenly tabernacle that came from above. And that's what we are longing and desiring to see, is to be clothed upon with immortality and incorruptibleness. To put on the Christ in all of His fullness. To be manifested in the earth that all the world can see and know the joy and the love of our God, that can know Him as we know Him, that we might show forth His praises in the ages to come, that we might speak into the earth His word that will bring about that manifestation. Amen.